You started a survey of military personnel because of what you were learning about the pay and benefits aspects of this budget. Are the things that you expected to be in here?
There are many of the things that we are surveying military personnel about in our online interactive survey are things that are actually proposed in this budget request. Specifically, they're proposing increasing the fees that military retirees under the age of 65 pay for their TRICARE health care plans. And they're also proposing establishing for the first time fees for TRICARE for life. That's what military retirees over the age of 65 would pay. So a number of the things that we're looking at in our survey are actually in this budget request.
We'll bring up the link that we had when you were on to talk about that survey and post it again at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. I looked at the commentary that you wrote back at the beginning of January for CNN.com when we first learned a few details about the budget. I wanted to ask you to follow up on some of the thoughts that you included in that commentary. One of the things you wrote was there's a glaring oversight in the Pentagon's plan. What were you referring to there, and is that oversight still there?
It's sequestration. That's what I was talking about, and that's still there. This budget comes in, the base defense budget comes in at $525 billion. That only fits in the initial budget caps that are required by the Budget Control Act. But because the super committee failed to reach an agreement last November, those budget caps are actually going to be reduced. And for DOD, it'll bring that budget down to $472 billion if Congress does nothing to stop it. That will happen as of January 2nd of 2013. This budget does nothing to prepare for what's currently on the books, which is they're going to have to cut it to $472 billion unless Congress find some way out of sequestration.
But the president has said he will veto any changes to sequestration, any attempt to get rid of it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so that's the dilemma here, is the department on the one hand, Secretary Panetta, is saying they are absolutely not planning for sequestration, that Congress needs to find some way out of it. But then on the other hand, the administration is saying, okay, I'm not going to let you out of it in any easy way. You can't just undo the deficit reduction that's been promised. You have to find offsetting deficit reduction some other way, like the super committee was supposed to do. So, you know, they're basically putting Congress in the position of you either find some other way to raise revenues and cut other spending, or else these cuts in defense and the non-defense part of the budget that are required under sequestration are going to happen. But by the way, we're not planning for it, so it's going to be messy.
All right. Another thing that you wrote back in January that I thought was interesting, the bottom line is it's too soon to tell if the Pentagon's new plan is a real shift in defense strategy or just words on a page. Now that you've had a chance to see some numbers attached to the words, at least whether it's electronic or in the paper form, which is it? Is it a shift or is it just words, do you think?
I think it tends towards the being just more words at this point from what I'm seeing. You know, the new defense strategy said that we're going to rely more on air and sea power, less on our ground forces in the future. I look at the budget, though, and the Army is the only service whose budget is going up. The Air Force and the Navy both see their budget decline. So that's kind of the opposite of what the strategic guidance was indicating in terms of a shift and resources. So at this point, I don't think the shift that the strategy called for is necessarily reflected in the budget.
So is it fair for me to characterize what you are thinking about this budget request as not much has really changed, sequestration still looming in the background, and we don't really know a whole lot more than we did when we started?
That's right. Now, part of the reason we don't know a whole lot more is because they already told us so much before the budget came out. We knew all of the big programs that were going to be affected, so it's kind of old news now, you know, when it actually comes out in the budget request. But looking at this kind of from a macro perspective, I think that's right, that there's more continuity here than real change, and there really just aren't a lot of surprises.
Is that an effective strategy, do you think, to reveal so many details before you actually do the big reveal?
I think it may actually be, if you want to diffuse some of the sting that comes out of these budget announcements, you know, because they did talk about, you know, canceling or slipping the schedule for a number of major acquisition programs. And so it basically lets the air out of the balloon, so there isn't a big surprise all at once when this news breaks on budget day. There are still a number of open questions, though, that I think the Pentagon's going to have to answer. In particular, and, you know, this is something they announced before, they're retiring some of the newest aircraft in the Air Force inventory. The C-27s, there are 38 of those that we've gotten, either we're already buying or we've already gotten our inventory. These are brand new, airlift aircraft that, you know, the Air Force is going to ground. And we just bought them. They're brand new. And we're going to ground them. The Global Hawk, the Block 30 version of the Global Hawk, they're stopping that program, and they're apparently going to divest of the 18 Global Hawks that we had already procured. Again, these are brand new, high-tech, sophisticated UAVs, you know, unmanned aircraft, and here we are parking them. And all of this is happening as the Air Force is lamenting about the fact that the average age of aircraft in the Air Force inventory is the oldest it's ever been in the history of the Air Force. Yet they are retiring many of their brand new aircraft.
That sounds to me like the kind of thing, though, Todd, that is ripe for somebody in Congress to say, oh, no, you can't do that. We'll do this instead.
Well, yeah, so that's the problem, is that if you're going to say, all right, Air Force, no, you've got to keep these new aircraft you just bought. You know, we just paid a lot of money for them. Well, then what are you going to cut? So if you keep the C-27s, you're going to have to cut more C-130s. If you keep the Global Hawk, you're probably going to need to cut the U-2s. Those are tough trade-offs. I think, you know, what Congress and others have got to push the Pentagon to do is release the details of their analysis justifying these decisions.
The cynic in me says that that might be part of the strategy, Todd, to make Congress make those hard choices and not make the Pentagon do it right now.
That may be part of it. And, you know, ultimately, you know, all we're talking about today is this is a budget request. It's a proposal. It ultimately, all of this is going to require Congress to put its stamp of approval on it before we get a real appropriations bill for FY13. And, of course, we can't forget the fact that this is an election year, and a lot of these issues are going to be hot political issues. And, you know, I have my doubts that we'll see an appropriations bill being passed before the October 1st deadline, and maybe not until after the election when we come back and there's a lame duck session of Congress.